The following episode of Footy Prime the Podcast contains violence, coarse language, talking of shite, full frontal nudity, and adult scenes. Listener discretion is advised. BetMGM, the place for soccer in Canada, presents Footy Prime.
Oh, let's go!
Footy, footy, it's time to get this party started. It's the footy, footy, it's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, Andy, Jim, and JC. All we know and all we talk about is footy, footy. It's time to get this party started tonight.
BetMGM, the place for soccer in Canada, presents Footy Prime. And yes, World Cup daily continues for the second time. We made it to day number two. Canada talks must have liked what they heard on day number one. As we get closer,
we don't know that at all, do we?
We don't.
We haven't had any.
We have no idea.
No news is good news.
That's right.
The way I look at it. So for those that are being introduced to us for the first time, to our longtime listeners, hey, what's up? To the new listeners. There's far more of them, I think, on Canada Talks through the Sirius XM network. A little introduction of who we are. We talk about soccer on a regular basis through various platforms, podcasts, Instagram, X, occasionally TikTok, when we remember. And we're going to be here every day throughout the World Cup talking about just that, the World Cup, with a Canadian spin. But we'll be talking about all the teams. So you south of the border, don't worry. We'll get to you as well. We have some really insightful people, but they're not here today. No, I'm joking. We have ex-players. We have broadcasters. Let me go through here. We have
so Craig,
Craig Forrest. Craig played for Canada over 50 times. He's one of the most well-known Canadian figures in Canadian soccer. Played in the Premier League, West Ham, Ipswich, Cup of Tea. At Chelsea. He's a legend, as is Jimmy Brennan, also played for Canada numerous times, also in English football, in the Prem, in the League Championship, Forest, Southampton, Norwich. And we have Amy Dubs Walsh, captained our fair country 50 times, played over 100 times for her country as well. So they're the important people. We have Dan Wong, longtime media member who got introduced to the sport. 7 years ago, really?
7 years ago, yeah.
7 years ago, yeah. And in those 7 years...
So it's never too late is the thing, right? It's never too late to get introduced and start following football, soccer, the beautiful game. Never too late.
Or to interrupt.
That too. Never
too late. You remind me of those 80-year-olds who suddenly go skydiving for the first time. Because why not? It's never too late.
Naked.
Everything flapping around everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
That's you, Wonger.
Yeah.
And I'm like James Sherman. I'm a media member for my sins for a very long time. So that's who we are. And I'm supposed to reintroduce us throughout the show. I'll forget. So Wonger will hopefully help me out there. But simple show. As the countdown continues to Thursday's kickoff at the World Cup, Mexico against South Africa. Canada plays on Friday, of course, against Bosnia-Herzegovina. We'll figure that out by the time we have kickoff. I think it's Herzegovina, actually. Does anyone know?
Herzegovina.
It's a bit of a controversy.
No, but is it? That's fair. That's fair. Do different parts of the world who speak English say it differently?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Sharm says Herzegovina, and we say Herzegovina.
No, see, I actually say Herzegovina. No, oh my God. Herzegovina. I say Herzegovina, but then I was corrected by a Bosnian.
Mm. Oh.
Which is why I've switched now to Herzegovina. Mm. So if there's any Bosnians out there, I'm sure there are. Firstly, please don't go to the Toronto Stadium on Friday. Please don't. We need the home support. Secondly, let us know how to pronounce it properly.
That's fair.
Yeah, but is that just slang? Is that kind of like the way we say Toronto when it's actually Toronto?
Well, maybe. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
Huh. Maybe we can learn something for once this week. Please let us know the correct way to pronounce it. Because I'm kind of known for mispronouncing everything, I'm open to this. Okay, lots to get to today. I don't want to start in a negative, but this whole visa issue.
Yes, you do.
Well, I do kind of, yeah. In fact, I've got a video to play later, actually, which is all about negativity. but I love a good old negative take. No, but this whole visa issue, Omar Artan is set to be the first Somalian to referee the World Cup finals, only he's not, because he's been dropped from the list of officials after being denied entry to the US. Now, Craig, when this was first announced that it's coming to North America, this World Cup, Gianni Infantino said a lot of big statements about visa issues and about who's allowed. And he goes, listen, you know, this is the World Cup. Everyone's welcome. If there's an issue with visas, then they shouldn't be hosting the World Cup and they won't host the World Cup. Here we are on the eve of the World Cup. And referees are being banned from entry, as are fans. Players are being held up at the border for hours on end.
Mm.
Why am I not surprised?
Yeah, I mean, we have to talk, you know, about previous World Cups and how we talked about that. The last one, Qatar. Human rights issues, various other issues, all these type of things. And yet, I didn't even remember hearing anything about visa issues trying to get into the country. Mm-hmm. So here we are with the States, and this referee, I don't think he's just any referee either. No. I think he's one of the top referees in Africa.
Okay, if you want to referee. African Confederation Referee of the Year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he's not just your average referee. So not a good look.
I thought there might be a contingency, though, and the contingency would be there is Canada and there is Mexico, and how easy it would be to say, hey, you're still refereeing, because this is a huge deal for this gentleman too, correct? Your African AFCON Referee of the Year, and you're not allowed to come and referee the World Cup in the States for political reasons, but you would think that they might have a contingency and say, hey, you and your crew, or you're going to be crewing up with matches in Canada, matches in Mexico, because this could have happened. They should have been reading the cards. And you would think that, and the tea leaves have all said this was going to happen, right? Whether put the best spin on it you want. So why did FIFA not come up with a contingency? That's all. I mean, I find that a little odd that this guy is not going to do anything during the World Cup. Is that a crazy take?
No, it's a good point. I mean, surely they had immigration lawyers, experts on this, knowing that it could be an issue. We know that Somalia has issues with the US, mm-hmm. major issues. Why has it come to literally the eve of the World Cup and now we find out he can't come in? Yeah. It is odd, for sure.
And in the statement, they said, quote, in line with previous FIFA events, a host government ultimately determines who receives a visa and who is admitted into their country. So they've essentially washed their hands of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which, given Infantino's previous statements and how he's cozied up to the States and Trump in the last number of years, we shouldn't be in the least bit surprised that FIFA is running away from this.
Well, there's a disconnect, right?
Nothing to see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nothing to see here.
Yeah. Yeah. It's disappointing, as is the Canadian injury situation. And man, I'm getting bored of talking about it. I'm at the point now where I'm bored. I am.
You can't be.
No, I can. Oh, okay. The good news was Ali Ahmed, Jacob Schaffenberg in full training yesterday. Jesse Marsh said that they should be available this weekend. That's huge. And yeah. Schaff, by the way, there was Jimmy, you were there. There was an open session yesterday at it's actually where Toronto's training base is, where Canada's based in Toronto. And it was open to all these kids came. It was amazing, actually. It felt like the first time I really felt legitimate buzz for the World Cup. There were more cops than people there, I think, actually. There was about 30 motorbike cops there. Great guys. Football fans, too, actually. Had a great chat with them. Not all of them, just a few of them. But
Charms loves a man in a uniform.
You were in the back, they were in the front.
Charms bought the topless calendar. He was so impressed.
Charms was on the back of the bike at one point.
Ride me, ride me.
I want to go in a sidecar.
After the incident, I was in the back of the police car, actually. But but no, it was just a great event. And we got to watch the full session for the first time, because you don't generally get to see this. And there was a finishing session at the end, quite intense. Thank God, because they need to. But Schaff was just crushing it. Out of everyone, he was just crushing it. So he looked really healthy, as did Ali Ahmed. They were focusing a lot on set pieces too, defensively, which, you know, with Bosnia coming, no surprise there. But we did hear from Jesse Marsh. He said that Ralph Prizo wasn't there and hopefully will be back in the next couple of days at some point. He has a muscle injury, Jimmy. Yeah. So the backup that we thought would be replacing Moyes Bembido, if Moyes can't go, is also struggling with injury now.
Yeah. Ralph was there. He was at training, but he was doing his own thing. He didn't participate in it, but you feel for him. You really do. You know, we had a quick chat, and I was with a couple of the guys, and he came by, and you could just see in his face just how gutted he is at the moment, realizing that you're so close, and then picking up another injury. It's sad. I mean, these are the, you know, when you're a little kid, this is what you dream of. And I remember like kicking a ball and be like, yeah, oh, take a touch, last minute of the World Cup, and I'm, you know, going to score a goal. And everybody dreams of getting to a World Cup, and he's so close, and he keeps picking up these little injuries, these little niggles. And, you know, I hope he gets better real quick, because we definitely need him. And I know a lot of people are on me going, oh, you're a Ralph Prizo fan, you're this and that, because I genuinely believe he's a very good player, and I think that he can help our national team. I think he has all the tools, and he's the type of guy that we need. And I wish him well, and I hope he gets fit and back into this squad. So, yeah, it's heartbreaking. And the thing is, like every player, you don't want to see anybody get injured, especially coming into a home World Cup. And like I said, this is everybody's dream as a young footballer. And I wish him well.
Do we know if it's the same hamstring or
same question?
Same, we don't.
I don't know. I don't know. Let's hope not. And listen, Jesse said like he should be back in the next day or so. He said, but he's been saying that about Moyes for the last year.
Yeah, and back in what capacity? Well, right? Is it training player? Is it one-on-one stuff with the medical staff? Is it return to play kind of protocol? All of this stuff is kind of under cloak and dagger, and it's hard to know exactly what's going on with the full fitness of a lot of these players.
I wonder if it'll change the way Jesse Marsh plays, because he loves that press, you know, and it's going to be potentially hot. The potential thunderstorms, breaks. With the back line, the center backs that aren't healthy or coming back into fitness, do you protect that back line a little bit more? Because you know what's going to come from Bosnia. Lots of crosses. Get into the box, put bodies in there, these sort of things. Do you protect them a little bit more and look for counterattacks? Because in possession and attack, we don't look particularly good. Well, we do look good, but without a finishing product, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. So I wonder if Jesse would tweak things a little bit as far as how he approaches this match against Bosnia. But I'm not absolutely sure, because he really likes that gegenpress.
Mm-hmm. Maple press, they call it.
Yeah. With the umlaut over the A.
Yeah. Generally, we love the way that looks. And it's an exciting brand for sure. But I think with under the circumstances, with what we have and the injuries and the replacements and coming out of injuries, I think that it might need a tweak and approach.
I don't disagree, Forrest, but from what we've seen, the body of work under Jesse Marsh over the past 2 years, we've seen very little deviation from what works for this team. And it really does suit how athletic, how intense, how dynamic a lot of our really big players are. I think the tweak is maybe we see more guys off the bench than we would have normally seen. That's, I mean, by necessity, you know, because we have a lot of guys who are likely starting. The starting 11 is in all likelihood what we saw the 11 deployed versus Ireland. I think that's very much going to be our 11 versus Bosnia. And then we just see more rotation for guys who maybe can't go more than an hour. So we see more faces off the bench to try to change the game that way and maintain that high intensity.
Do you think, Jimmy, with obviously more games potentially at this World Cup. I mean, we'll see how far Canada goes, obviously, but the conditions, the bench is going to be absolutely key. You're going to use those five subs at this World Cup.
Yeah, definitely. I think so. I think you will. I mean, everybody's going to play an important role. You're definitely going to rely on your subs. But I mean, look, the tournament also dictates to you who you're going to put on. You know, if you end up winning the first two games and you're going into the third match, you know, that's an opportunity for you to actually rest a few players and play some subs to come in there and hopefully get a result as well. But every match is going to do something. You know, if you're going to start with Kyle Larin, and I spoke with Promise David yesterday. What a great guy, man. He's an absolute monster of a human.
Holy shit, Jimmy, he walked past me and let's just say I'm going to be working out very hard later today.
What did you say on the dark web? You said, I am less of a human now because I stood next to Promise or something.
Yeah, I'm a pathetic husk of a human.
Yeah, you're a shell of a man.
Even Jimmy, who's in better shape than me, you must have felt pathetic beside him.
I felt small. Yeah,
his legs. Felt small.
It was like standing beside Shaq.
Yeah, only a cut Shaq.
Yeah. But like even for him, I mean, you know, can he last 90 minutes? No. But he's going to be called upon to play maybe 20 minutes in a match, right? So there's going to be certain players that know their roles and know that, yeah, they're not match fit. They're not here, but they can provide this service for this amount of time. So I think everybody understands that they've got a role to play going into this World Cup. And you're definitely going to rely on your bench. That's 100% fact.
Guys, what's the rule for, let's say there's a certain amount of substitutions, but what if someone after those substitutions are used, knowing what Canada's been through, and there's an injury, are you done?
You're screwed.
You're screwed.
Yeah. Finito. Finito.
So you could be 10 minutes
unless
out.
Unless it's a concussion, then you're allowed a concussion substitution.
Oh, so you, yeah. So, you so, 10 minutes so out of
you go down grabbing your hamstring, you say, stop grabbing your hamstring, grab your head.
Right. Yeah. Okay. I didn't know that. This is all new. I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah, you could potentially be playing a player down if you've used up your subs and somebody picks up an injury.
And in some wonderful moments, it's rare, but it's incredible. Both goalkeepers get hurt. And it's so much fun. Because you put an outfield player in goal and you know straight away, just the way they stand, they're not a goalkeeper. But it's
brilliant.
I wonder
if those are odds that we could find, like the BetMGM odds on a goalkeeper injury and a player having to make a save or attempt to make a save on a pen. You'd probably be able
and
to
who
find
would that be?
Somewhere, right? I don't know.
Yeah. Who would that be in Canada? Who steps in? Who is the goalkeeper, I wonder? That's a good question for Jesse, but I dare not ask him.
Promise.
Jesse, both the goalkeepers get hurt.
Yeah, you put a big body in there.
Yeah,
put right. A big body.
Yeah, I know Pele was Brazil's backup, right? Back in when he played, there were no subs.
Oh, right, I do remember that.
But and he was incredible. And Wayne Rooney would often play goal at training. And they try and the coach would say, stop doing this, Wayne. We don't need you to break a hand. But he loved it. He loved playing goal.
Pesca Salido used to play, and he wasn't the largest guy in the world, but not a bad goalkeeper.
He was like a Campo.
Yeah.
All right.
It's that little cat.
Spry.
Very dexterous and spry. Yeah.
Back in the day, there's more of a chance of playing an out player than there is now. I mean, in league football, sometimes they would even put a goalkeeper on the bench. You take that chance. So an injury, then you're... Or on the other side of things, I mean, I stood on the sideline once I was nearly being subbed in as an out player because I was one of the three subs as a goalkeeper. Two guys already on. Somebody pulled a hamstring and I nearly got on. I was literally dressed up. I was kitted out, ready to go on for Ipswich. And he recovered.
Where were you going? Up top?
That's what
up
I was
top, gonna. Jimmy, up top.
Get in the big box. Target.
Target, man. Yeah.
Get me on the diagonal.
Put it in the mixer. Yeah.
No doubt about the tactics. I wonder what they're playing now. They ain't playing tiki-taka, that's for sure. Just direct stick it in there.
One.
No. I don't lose tiki-taka.
That's hilarious. Love to have seen that. You'd have loved it, wouldn't you?
Oh, I was so looking forward to it.
Sharms, before we move on, I wonder, though, if Craig Forrest in that day looked very much like he did on these top 20 Canadian national team players.
Oh.
I can't see you.
That's clearly done by AI. It was Global Pulse that put it out. Okay.
Show us again. Angle it.
And angle
it. See it because you're getting the reflection. Where is Craig? Oh my God. That's terrible.
Who is that?
I don't know. It looks like Mark Hughes.
Okay. So at least like you're Mark Hughes. Right. At least you're the right race. Look what they did to poor Patrice Bernier.
Oh, he looks like Tom Patrice Brady.
Is not black.
Who are these?
I don't know. It's AI. They got none of the women's national team players right. It's just
so this is
an abomination. Just for
the listeners who can't see. So this is a top 20 most famous Canadian players?
By Global Pulse, they said top 20 most famous Canadian footballers of all time.
In order?
I don't know, but it's shambolic. It's terrible.
Do some
research and don't use AI. Research.
Come on. These people are, it's just clickbait. It's so we talk about it. We're actually doing a disservice to ourselves when we bring up AI. So, Amy, you're chastised. No more of this.
We're going to see more of this. The next month.
You've been told.
I don't care, actually. I think it's great. It's crazy because I went through it last night looking for Craig because I couldn't read the names because I didn't have my glasses on. And I was like, they didn't put Craig on this list, but they did.
They did.
They just put like some model from the 70s. It's the guy who's in the picture with the dog in the actual
picture frame comes with, right? And he's had his golden retriever.
That's right. It's the picture frame guy.
removing the pictures for a second here. I mean, we won't get into it because it's ridiculous, but there's some glaring omissions. And some players that should not be there. Like, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. Anyway, we're not doing that. Maybe I'll say that for a video at some point.
Yes.
That'll be fun. Let's move on, shall we? To some really big questions.
Oh. Yeah. JC's not here. It's coming. Usually, I got it.
Anytime
now. One, two, three, four.
Ring, ring. What's that sound? Big question that needs answer. Ring.
What was the question again?
See, Canada Talks audience, we play these tunes, and Wonga and Dubs and myself love to have a good dance to them.
Mm-hmm.
Craig and Jimmy don't even move.
Forrest sometimes gives a little.
Maybe odd head bob from Craig occasionally, but Jimmy just has disdain for them.
We have to give a shout out to the lyrics of Dubs and the production value of JC. They really put it together. I know they spent hours in the studio putting that together. The lyrics are, what are the lyrics again, Dubs? Can you sing it?
Ring, ring, what's that sound? It's another big question that needs answering. And we should let the listeners know, if they're not familiar with the origin story, is on our dark webs or our WhatsApp group. Sharms proposed these big questions going into the World Cup for as a content generator for our podcast. And it's worked out very well. And so like seconds later, I sent this voice note with a terrible voice, but JC grabbed it and he made it the official song. So I'm sorry.
Brilliant. Okay, so the first big question of today's show is, are Max Crepeau's tears going to win over the country and make him Canada's favorite human being? All right, Craig, we saw Max Crepeau after the match, well, actually before the match against Ireland, national anthem, the tears flowing down his cheeks. This is his first match, confirmed as Canada's number one goalkeeper. And then after the match, he runs into the stands, finds his dad, a long embrace. It was an amazing moment. It really was. He's been through a lot, Max Crepeau, including that broken leg. in the MLS Cup final. Craig, will those tears, you know how it is, you know, the mainstream audience is going to love a storyline. And if we see an emotional Mascarpone in the anthems, it's going to do a lot for not just him, but for the game of this country.
Yeah, I mean, we all spend a lot of time in television, and I'm looking at that opening with Max and having a tear. And I think, well, if I'm in television and I'm building up a tease for the World Cup match, that is probably a clip I'm using more than once. The emotion of it is just amazing. And then with his dad being there and jumping into the crowd and all that, I've just added to it. It just shows how amazing this tournament can be with all the noise and everything else going around and the criticisms that we talk about. The bottom line is it's, you know, there's the dreams that are accomplished from this. And then also the heartbreak as well. It's all there encompassed together. And yeah, I think so. I think he's got every chance. But the bottom line is too, with our national team, is if we get results in this World Cup and we do well, everybody's going to jump on the bandwagon. If we don't, it'll just drift away. It's just that's the way it is. So results are obviously the most important thing. And if we get them, then moments like that and people like that, like Max, will certainly resonate with the public.
Yeah. Do you know what? I think that first match at home in Toronto, Canadian crowd, World Cup, I think there's going to be a lot of guys that are going to be shedding tears. Because I know if I was standing there, that anthem's playing at home, World Cup in front of our fans, I would be emotional as well. And I think you're going to see a lot of tears when that anthem's played.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm actually concerned about calling the game. Like if I saw something like that before the game starts, so there's going to be a puddle.
Embrace it, Craig. Go with it. Mm-hmm. Go with it.
Take selfies.
Just like when Canada qualified for the World Cup 4 years ago. And you were like, you know, a disaster on the side of the pitch. It was amazing. Yeah. It's one of those moments of the World Cup.
Goalkeepers are a little on the emotional side. They're a little crazy.
Well, wasn't it Gigi Buffon blasting out the Italian anthem, all those massive games? And it was like, wow, this guy, all the highlight reels led with Gigi Buffon and just the way he looked and the passion that he had for his country.
Yeah.
I loved it. We need that.
And part of pulling in new fans is what Forrest is saying, and, you know, leading with the player wearing his heart on his sleeve, playing at home. So, Jimmy, what you're talking about, Toronto and that first match of the World Cup will mean so much to all of these players. But for Max, the press conference the day before, being named Canada's number one keeper, a hometown kid playing for the coach for the national team who had signed him to his first pro contract, he has that really emotional moment, but then he backs it up with another enduring, lasting image for fans who can link the two now in that massive penalty save. So it'll be those two things combined. It'll be something that tugs at the heartstrings, but then also an individual moment of brilliance, and then fans putting the two together, whether it's via highlights or in stadium or at home watching the game, and all of it is interwoven. And that's what makes lasting fans. That's what creates that rabid fan base that I think we've been lacking for so long.
Mm-hmm. The point blank save you made too.
Exactly.
Well, we
a
didn't,
number of them.
Yeah, we didn't really touch on that yesterday. So I wanted to, they were game saving stops by Max Crépeau on Friday night in Montreal against Ireland. And I wanted to get a little bit of insight from Craig about how you saw the match and specifically a little
stutter there.
specifically Max's play, because it was such a big deal. He had just been named keeper the day before given the gloves for the World Cup. And then he had a really strong match. What did you see, Craig?
Yeah, no, I think we saw from Max what we've been seeing from him for the last few years with the national team. When he pulls on that jersey, he becomes Superman. I think that was the case against Ireland too. The only thing I was thinking about was the actual penalty shot itself, and he was off the line. The advantage was played, obviously, because the rebound was smashed in. But if, let's say, that's against Bosnia, and he blows that one over the bar after the save, it would then go to VAR if the officials didn't pick up on it on the field. So my guess is they wouldn't touch that. They would go to VAR and see that he's off his line, and the penalty be retaken. And I think if Canada's going to go fairly deep in this tournament, I suggest or suggested that there's a very good likelihood that we would have to play in a penalty shootout. Somebody, you know, anybody who wins this World Cup, chances are they're going to go through a penalty shootout, whether we like it or not. Mm-hmm. Just the nature of the tournament football. And you got to get your technique absolutely perfectly right because you will be called back. So there's no point in coming off your line, making a save, if it's going to be called back. Now, the player that took the shot did the old the hesitation just slightly, and I guess Max then jumped off just slightly off his line. So it's just something to think about because it's a different technique now. I mean, remember back in the day, you'd be 3 yards off your line making saves, never be called. But now that's not the case. So you might as well get it right. The technique is different. They take a little bit of a step backwards, you generally, before they make their move to make sure that they are behind the line or on it. And that'd be something I'd just be working on with him just to make sure that he had that bang on. Because you don't want a situation like that arising where the crowd goes crazy and they get called back and asked to be retaken.
Well, you had made a comment on Twitter, and off of your comment, I said, you know, you're the Mr. Miyagi of... I called you Mr. Miyagi, and Captain Jack Tanner said, I always look forward to hearing Craig wax on and wax off Forrest impart his footy wisdom. So there you go. So people are appreciating you.
Can I add one more?
Yeah.
So this is from Gordon Wilkes on Twitter, because your tweet about Max coming off his line, Forrest, got a lot of traction. And he says, kind of tongue in cheek, you shouldn't have said anything, Craig. You should have just texted him to be mindful. Now, every country we play is going to be scrutinizing Crepo technical form in preparation for a VAR review. And then he kind of makes up for it. He says, but I know you're now retired. You were my Canadian soccer hero back in the late 90s and 2000, of course. And you're just trying to be informative and helpful to us laymen of the game. But that screenshot of Crepo, ugh, bad optics.
Did you text him, Craig? Have you?
I have texted him, but not about that.
Maybe you should.
Yeah, keep it in the DMs, will you, Forrest?
Yeah, I'm sure he's well aware.
Who's going to become
it isn't going to be the difference between VAR whether they look at it or not.
Craig, the hero of Canadian soccer, might well become something very different to Canadian soccer by the end of this, for drawing attention to that. That's the one we take from this World Cup, you know, when they crash out in the group phase because of certain things. It's because of Craig Forrest.
Yeah.
He gets demonized.
Yes.
Be good for numbers, though. Be great for us. If Craig gets demonized by the Canadian soccer public, it'll be brilliant for us. Turns heel straight away. Like, you know, from being the hero to the heel.
Yeah. I don't think I never see it happening. You see it with Jimmy, but not with Forrest.
What could Craig do to do that, to convince the Canadian public he's evil? It might be murder. It might have to be nothing short of murder.
Yeah, that's a fact.
Yeah. He's so beloved.
If he wears that Switzerland kit closer to that third group game, maybe then.
That's true. Yeah, yeah. Who do you think, though, talking about emotion, who if we remove Max from the equation, who's most likely from this Canadian team to be the emotional mess in a pre-match anthem? Now, bear in mind that they're going to all line up, including the subs, for this World Cup, for the anthems. They've changed the whole intro thing for some reason. I don't know why, but they've done it anyway. So everyone's lined up together.
Really? All the subs will be out on the pitch for the anthem?
I believe so, yeah. And facing each other. The players facing each other. Yeah.
I hate it.
Why do you hate it?
Put that in your video. Why? Why are we changing it?
Yeah, I don't know. It's a good question. Unity?
I don't know, man. There's always one nugget that wants to change everything. some idiot at the table say, I got an idea. Shut the fuck up. No, you don't. Just leave it.
33:45. 33:45, serious. You got to beat Jimmy. That's all right. It was worth it, I think. If you're going to drop an F-bomb, it's worth it for that. Because I agree. Mm-hmm. Why? It's unnecessary.
Unnecessary. Yeah.
Well, maybe it's because, I don't know, not substitutes. They're impact players and they're just as important.
Finishers.
Crazy. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's right. Well,
I don't mind that aspect of it, like keeping the whole team together, because it is more about more like just the 11 on the pitch. It's about the entire staff and the players and everybody on that roster. But there comes a point where you have to make that separation. You have to draw that line in the sand where these are going to be the 11 players who are going to start. And that's a decision that's been really tough to make. But we're going to do it now. And then it helps, I think, the players to understand what their respective roles are. And now you're like, no, everybody together, and you have to face each other. And like, it's probably just part of like the pomp and the circumstance of like the pregame rituals and ceremonies and all the things that they're doing differently. And like,
I think the
like
bus driver is also involved. I think he gets out there too.
Yeah, he's important. I'm telling you,
he is very important. Without the bus driver, there's no game.
Mm-hmm. There's
I think if you're going to bring, I think if you're going to bring everybody out, we might as well do a Canadian hacker. I think we should have our own.
That would be great. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, listen, we've got a rich indigenous culture here. Why not? There has to be something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We didn't really answer your question though, Sharms. But yeah, I was
the most
thinking,
emotional.
Yeah. Who is the most, we know that Craig can shed a tear. So out of our pros, is it Jimmy or Dubs who are bawling for the national anthem? And I think Craig. I know this one.
Yeah, Craig. I think that all, you could tell, I think for all of them, there'd be emotion. Even Jimmy, who's so stoic, I think you could see some emotion.
What did you say?
Stoic. You could be stoic.
Stoic.
Stoic. Oh, don't. Just stop. Don't.
Did we you
just
put a Y in there? Accents. S-T-O-Y-A-C.
No. Stoic.
Left back.
For Croatia.
That's Stoic. Stoic is the left back.
Yeah.
It's Stoic.
You're so Stoic, Jimmy.
He's a great player, by the way.
Yeah. We just made that joke.
I think... Yeah, we did. Literally just made it.
I know.
I think it might be Schaff because he plays very emotionally.
Yes. That's a good one. Good shout. And he has a child. Like, that was his kid, right? Like, he has new kids. Like, he's a father. And I have to say, when I became a parent, all of a sudden, you cry at the stupidest things. Like, a movie would never make me get emotional. Oh. And then all of a sudden, I'm watching a movie. Kid beside me, like in my arms, and it's like about adoption or bad parenting or something, and all of a sudden you're bawling.
Kramer like, versus Kramer.
I could see you crying.
Kramer versus Kramer.
Yeah, I could see you crying over Mrs. Doubtfire.
Hello.
And Walter cries more than when the commercials roll. He starts crying.
Yeah.
Oh well, sometimes it's the commercials that get you. Absolutely.
But Mrs. Doubtfire is emotional. Like, the poor bugger. I mean, he's just trying to be around his kids.
Yeah,
divorce is a horrible thing.
Well,
not always.
Not always.
Sometimes great.
Sometimes you get a spatula.
He didn't really have his, you know, his stuff together.
No, he's messed up.
Mm-hmm. Have you heard Sally Field talk about Robin Williams? She's like, I didn't laugh at anything he did that whole movie. I found him so unfunny. Yeah, she was on Colbert right before his last episode. And she's just like, no, unfunny. And I was like, wow, tough crowd.
Really? But as far as his acting's on set, like his acting?
Yes.
Not him offset.
And then she said, finally, Pierce Brosnan made like a fart noise one day and that set her off. And Robin Williams was like, what the hell, Sally Field?
It takes a fart to make you laugh.
That's I know.
Right. Well, farts are funny. Come on.
Yeah, you'll always get a laugh with a fart.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Big fan of the fart.
I think it might be Promise, Charms, to go back to your most emotional, if you got all of the players on the pitch. I think if Promise, just to Jimmy's point about maybe tweaking things slightly, I don't think we see Promise start. but if ever he did. But then now with the implications of having the entire team on the pitch, like Promise was never meant to be here, right? Yeah, it was that phone call by Jesse Marsh to Promise to say, I believe in you to beat this timeline for your hip injury. And so that put like the belief in Promise, and then he worked his ass off to get back. And now he's part of this roster and is not only just there as a presence, like he will likely play a huge role for this team coming off the bench. So I see it being Promise David, because he already is a guy who's very emotional.
I agree with that. I agree with that. I think Promise.
A little bit like Max, you know, like beat the odds kind of thing.
The broken leg, yeah.
I would say, I'm going to say Liam Miller.
Hmm.
Oh, he's got young kids too, I believe, right?
I believe so.
You know what the common denominator is with everybody with kids? Sleep deprivation. So the emotions are
emotional.
Just underneath the surface.
Simmering. They're simmering there, aren't they? Always.
Yeah.
Anger and
exhaustion.
Yeah.
Exhaustion. Yeah.
Hope not. Exhaustion.
Jesus, hope not. Okay. Do you want to get to my things I hate video?
Yeah, I love your things you hate.
Do you have it ready?
No, but I will bring it up.
Okay.
You guys keep talking. I've totally
complained. So I did a video. There's things about this World Cup that already are bugging me. All right. And it's not so much about the World Cup itself, but it's about how the new audience to football, to soccer, are using certain terms and how they're just wrong terms. And I'm hearing a lot of media out there covering the sport for the first time. And I'm glad they are. Right. I really am glad the mainstream media is taking hold of this tournament, because it's so important for this country and for the game and for shows like us. I hope that's the legacy. So certain things kind of really bug me. So I did a little video on Instagram. And you can follow us all, by the way, on Instagram, all separate. You can find us, just go through Footy Prime, Footy Prime IG. You can find us all in there. Wong, you found it yet?
You shared it as a regular video. So I wanted to pull that up. Here it is. Wait one second.
Okay, you got it there?
Yeah.
Some of we know that, but here's some things, please, you shouldn't say, especially if you're new to the sport, especially if you're in the media and maybe you're covering the sport for the first time. Things you should not say. To start with, it's really important. It's really simple, though, right? It's just the World Cup. We're going to watch the World Cup this summer. It's the 2026 World Cup. Pretty straightforward. It's not the FIFA World Cup. Don't say the FIFA World Cup, unless maybe you're a rights holder or a sponsor, in which case you probably have to say the FIFA World Cup. But it's not. It's the World Cup. I'm going to enjoy the World Cup this summer. It's going to be a great World Cup. Can't wait for the World Cup. See, it's easy. Now, if you're going to listen to one thing I say today, listen to this. What it isn't, what it's not, and can never be, is the FIFA. Let's not call it the FIFA. You're not going to the FIFA. You're not going to watch the FIFA. We're not looking forward to the FIFA. You know, Canada's hosting the FIFA. Are you going to the FIFA this summer? Oh, it's going to be a great FIFA. No, it's not the FIFA. It's the World Cup. Don't say the FIFA. If you've ever said the FIFA, stop saying the FIFA. Please stop saying the FIFA. It's the World Cup. It's really straightforward. It's really easy. No more. Okay, this one may be a bit controversial. I know in Canada we like to say Team Canada, and that's fine. If we want to say Team Canada, that's what we do over here in our sports, that's fine. Let's go with that. Whatever. I won't, but that's fine. What you don't do, though, is put team in front of any other nation. It's not Team Norway. It's not Team Brazil. It's not Team Uzbekistan. It's not Team England. It's not Team Cape Verde. It's Cape Verde or Uzbekistan. Or Brazil, or Norway, or Argentina. It's not team. No, that's not what we do and what we say in this sport. Unless we're in Canada. And it's Canada we're talking about. That's fine. But that's it. Draw the line under that. Do you know my uncle once did a trial at Norwich? Don't say that, because I don't care. Firstly, it's not Norwich, it's Norwich. Get that right. Okay. Secondly, did he have a trial? Did he really? Did he make the team? It's not important. Move on. Will there be British hooligans at the World Cup? Well, listen, first of all, Britain won't be at the World Cup. Never have been. Never will be. Okay? Hooligans? Probably not. Please don't mention the diving and the embellishing. We know. Okay? We are aware. We don't like it. I know I don't know what happened to Italy. I really don't know. Right, J-Mo? You know? What's with this top 90 nonsense I'm hearing now? Top 90? Stop it.
All right. So I know I'm miserable. I get it. I get it. But
I think talking about J-Mo.
Yeah, J-Mo is John Molinaro, legendary OG of Canadian soccer coverage over here. And I just, me and Dubs were in the press box and I was talking about this video. And I mentioned the Italy part. And I said, J-Mo, just look at the camera and shake your head. And he did. So I managed to slip J-Mo into it.
Kind of a, so good.
So, okay. So am I, is it just misery? Does anyone disagree with anything I say there?
No, I agree with you.
Yeah.
I like these terms. I really like
it. Come from? Is that the French element to it?
No, I think it's hockey.
It's hockey.
Yeah.
Is it?
And Olympics, because they do say Team Canada. It's the two. And because soccer in Canada has been associated very heavily with Olympics, right? Like, our success has been in Olympic soccer. The Team Canada part of it, I think, seeped into things. If I'm going to take a kind of a non-judgy version of Charms's judginess.
What I did like about that, Charms, though, is you said, I'll give you a pass when you're talking about Canada. So to Wonger's point, if people are just accustomed to saying Team Canada, we're not going to vilify you for trying to be a fan, trying to get immersed in the soccer culture and calling it that. But when you're referring to other teams, probably best you don't refer to them as Team Uzbekistan or Team France or whatever. I like that a lot because we talked about being a soccer nation last podcast. Part of it is not gatekeeping. We want to welcome more people in. So yeah, don't call it the FIFA, but also, you know, call it kind of whatever you want if you want to jump on the bandwagon, I think.
That's the big one, right? The FIFA. And I'm hearing politicians call it the FIFA. I've been at events.
Yeah.
And it just drives me freaking crazy when politicians say it.
Well, that's because they've been dealing with the FIFA. That's the only thing they know, right? Here are our rules. You cannot walk down the street with a soccer ball, or we want to monetize that. You know, they want to monetize everything. Hey, you can't, you know, it's getting ridiculous. The one big thing I don't want to hear throughout this World Cup is, do people actually watch this sport?
That's a great one. Yeah, exactly.
I like, what is wrong with you? Get out of your bubble. Like, we want to be inclusive, but don't be douchebags. Don't be so bubble, like in your bubble, that you think hockey is the only sport, that North American sports are the only sports that, and this is a top North American sport. So what are you talking about? Just please, please.
Yeah.
A little out of your bubble. Yeah.
I hate that.
See, exceptionalism about it all. Like, I mean, I think Canada and the United States, we make up for less than 5% of the world's population.
Right.
95% of the importance to what those people think their lives are.
Yeah. You know what drives me crazy is that when you hear these guys, well, I don't know much about soccer. Like, I'm a hockey guy. What does that mean? Like, what does that mean? Are you athletic? Do you like sports? Do you only like watch hockey? You never watch any other sport? Like, because how do you, I'm a soccer guy, but I know every other sport because I'm athletic and I can appreciate everybody else's sport or passion that they have and what goes into it. But it's that ignorance where like, well, I don't really know. You know, you're lying. You do know about soccer. You know the game. You know you can't use your hands. You have to score and put the ball in the back of the net.
Yeah.
It's 11v11. You know the rules. You're just being ignorant. I'm a hockey guy.
Yeah.
What's that mean? It's
another one where they go, well, you know, easiest game in the world to play because, you know, when you're born, even a child, they can kick a ball. It's like, yeah, well, you know what else they do when they're that age? They fight.
What?
It came from USC. Like, guys are like,
oh,
you know, making out that the USC was all that. It's like, well, they fight with their kids as well as kick a ball.
But I'll say this about that, and it's true, is that every single person on this earth, unless, even if you're born without legs, you've played soccer in some capacity. You've kicked a ball, or in their case, you've hit at a ball. Right? Every kid, at some point, I don't care where you are, you could be in Vancouver, or, you know, we talk about Somalia, you know, you could be in Somalia, right? And at some point, you've kicked a ball. It might be a real soccer ball. It might be a ball made of rags. You've kicked a ball. Mm-hmm. Every single person in the world has it. That's why it's called the world's game.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're right. Do you know what? When you look at it, and I think people just don't appreciate how difficult football is at times. You know, when you watch American football and Brady throws it to the receiver and the receiver's running, he jumps up, he catches it with his hands and brings it in, and everybody's like, what a play, that ball. And or a guy hits a you know, it's going out for a home run and a guy runs with his big glove playing baseball and he jumps up and he catches the ball just before it goes over the fence. But when you watch a soccer player that's sprinting down the line full tilt with a defender right behind him, a guy sprays a ball 50 yards and this guy is running, no hands, with his feet or his chest, controls that ball in full flight and then ends up making a play after that. You know how difficult that is? Catching it with your hands, no problem all day long. But catching it with your feet or your chest, controlling it when you got somebody on you in full stride, that's one of the hardest things to do. And people don't appreciate that unless you play the sport.
You're right. But what sport has the biggest gap between the average guy or girl playing with their friends in the village park and international football, the top level? What sport has the biggest gap? Like some guy, I mean, hockey is a big one. I mean, listen, skating is such a unique thing. Not everyone can skate, let alone at that level. So I get that. But I'm just wondering, when I played a few charity games against professionals, and they're playing, it's not even the same sport. What I'm doing out there is just completely different. It's not like they're just better than me. They're on a different planet to me. I'm sure it's the same with hockey. I'm sure it's the same in most sports to a certain degree. But what sport has the biggest gap between being, you know, average club player with your friends to professional?
I would say hockey's up there. I would say hockey's up there.
Yeah.
Big time. You know, I'm watching Stanley Cup, and I'm just amazed at times just how quick they are and how they find space. Because when you got, you know,
yeah, that's true,
nine guys and or 10 guys in one end, and limited space and stick handling and moving and twisting, turning. And then you go watch men's league hockey, and it's a huge gap. Huge gap. Ridiculous gap.
I had some friends played a pickup game, and Darren McCarty played for the Wings. Mm-hmm. Really, like, he's a third, fourth liner, tough guy, right? But third, fourth liner, grinder, real grinder. And these guys were decent players, you know, beer league, but they were saying that they just couldn't touch him. No one could touch him out there. He was beyond anything they'd ever seen on the ice. And that was a guy that, you know, was a grinding third or fourth liner in the NHL against a bunch of guys that played once a week with their mates. So it could be hockey. What do you think, Dubs? You come from both a hockey and soccer background.
Basketball.
And basketball too. Yeah, I mean, watching JP play pro, my husband who played at East Coast Hockey League and a little bit in the AHL, I think it's the speed at which you're able to execute similar skills, right? Because you can see people who have a really great handle, good hands, skillful, can, you know, walk around people like they're pylons in house league hockey. But then you add in some athleticism, you add in some acumen for, you know, tactics and how you play the game, how you see the ice. And then they don't stand a chance. So I think soccer gets reduced, I think, a lot of the time to, you know, this mockery or this ignorance that Jimmy's referring to, when, especially in Canada, this hockey kind of bubble, that it's like this be all end all to the great sports and the following. Like, there's a reason why soccer is the most registered sport in Canada and in the world, because it's so accessible. You just need a ball. Whether, like you said, it's made of a bunch of tape or some rags tied together, and you can kind of bandy the ball about. So I think it looks simple. It looks easy. So I think that same thread is carried through to pros, where Jimmy's talking about, you know, a ball that sprayed 50 yards and the skill, the awareness, the timing to bring it down, like the deft touch, and then to keep your balance to go around a player. Like, it's not appreciated in the same way that some of these sports where you're manipulating a puck or a baseball or a basketball. Like, it's for whatever reason, because it's just so simple, it's not appreciated on the same level. And I think hopefully this World Cup being in North America, the last time it was here was 94. There's so much that has changed since. Like, the appreciation of the sport has evolved, and also the homegrown talent has evolved. So maybe the average fan can also evolve to go along with it.
That's fair. And one thing I wanted to add, Sharms, is if anyone's listening to us on SiriusXM right now and isn't familiar with us, and we're talking about skill across, go to that Maradona warming up where he's bouncing this ball to Life is Life by Opus, I think is the band. Mm-hmm. And he's kicking this ball 40 meters into the air, catching it off his shoulder. Moving it, it's like Harlem Globetrotters.
Boots are undone.
Yeah, boots are undone. He's warming up, having a blast. If you want to see skill, and just quick YouTube search Maradona warming up World Cup, it shows you, it will basically illustrate everything we're talking about, the skill level. Then go grab a ball and try it yourself.
Yes.
And you're like,
immediately afterwards, you should queue up the one where someone's in a parody of it, and it's at like Sunday morning house league soccer, and a guy with a gigantic boiler, and it's like the same song playing, but like he can't control the ball.
You sure it wasn't Maradona?
Yeah. You could very well have been.
Later in his career?
It's very funny, because it's showing that it's like, it's not easy. It might look easy, but it's not.
No.
Yeah.
Do you know what Maradona... The rest of the team is warming up, and he's like, I'm going to juggle. I'm not warming up today. I'm just going to keep this ball up for a little bit. And then he goes inside. Like, he never warmed up. That was his warm-up. Little dance.
Jimmy, he was probably off his face.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. The night before, for sure.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, almost out of time here.
He was talking about that game. I can't remember who he was playing, but it was a player in the opposition that said they watched him do this in the warm-up, and they said, we were beat.
Was it a West German player?
No, they wouldn't think that.
No.
It might have been. Actually,
it might have Cruyff been. Or one of those
Klinsmann or something.
Klinsmann, yeah.
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 I think it was over.
Yeah, bloody over. Germans would never think that.
The bloody Germans. So any Germans out there who are listening to us, it's a football thing. Bloody Germans, they used to win everything. Someone said once, so explain football to me. And they said, well, it's easy. It's 11 v 11, one ball. In the end, Germany wins. that's football. Almost out of time here. I want to get some footy picks, though. So let's cue it up, shall we? Some footy picks.
Ticker, 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 ticker.
Who's got it? Not me.
Where is it?
I think I got it.
There we go.
All right, very quickly here. I'm looking at just Canada in Group B, with, of course, Switzerland, Qatar, and Bosnia. So, Governor, again, please let us know. Right, I just go through some numbers, what BetMGM has in their book. So, Canada to finish in first place, Switzerland in second place pays plus 300, if you're confident of that. Canada to win all their games in the group phase, all three games, 9 points, plus 900. 7 points, which seems doable, is plus 400. And to win two games, which means losing one, is plus 300. As far as goal scoring, now we know there's issues goal scoring for Canada right now. Canada to score over 4.5 goals in this group, so to score 5 goals, minus 140. So it's not expected. However, to score under 4.5 goals or 5 goals pays plus 100. So there's money to be made on the Canadian markets in this World Cup for sure, which is interesting. I'm not sure where I'm laying my money just yet.
we'll discuss
your dollar 50, tomorrow. Your eight, your yeah. $2.
Tomorrow also, we're going to talk about the favorites of this World Cup.
Yes.
Out of the Spain's, France's, England's, Germany's, Holland's perhaps, who is the favorite? So everyone, hope you enjoyed that. We're back tomorrow, same time, same place. Cheers for listening.
Footy Prime is brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary. Check us out on YouTube at youtube.com/footyprime and subscribe. Leave us some comments. We'd love to hear those. And check us out on Instagram at footyprimeig and on Twitter at footy_prime. And check out wearefootyprime.com. Sign up for our newsletter.